Welcome to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our series, Better. We want to thank you for joining us, and we hope this inspires you and builds your faith.
Hey, New Point, I want to welcome each and every one of you. We're thankful that you're joining us, however and wherever you are. But you know what? I want to give a shout out to all of our fathers, and I just want to say Happy Father's Day. We are so grateful for our dads, and we want you to know that we love you and that we appreciate you, and never, ever underestimate your influence and your impact on us and those around you. We think the world of you, and we're glad for you. And here at New Point, we're for fathers. We're for fathers, and I pray that you have an incredible, unbelievable, amazing day. Now, we're in this series. It's called Better. When life hands you choices, choose better. It's about a man named Solomon, who happens to be a very rich king, a wise king, and he writes this journal that is called Ecclesiastes. And he's journaling his thoughts, his perspectives, his observations. Matter of fact, he's referred to as the teacher, the one who's doing the research, the one who's making the observations. And we're looking at him because he is a wise, wise person. And he's at the end of his life, the latter part of his life, and he's looking back of all that he has observed, all that he has experienced. And today what we want to look at is, how do you manage the unmanageable, the irritations, the inconveniences, the illnesses, the delays, those things that cause your schedule to fall apart, to unravel, to frustrate us? You know, it's those things that maybe you've read about in a time management book, or maybe you've read in an article of how to be able to use your time better. And the problem with those magazines and those books is that they think that you control your time. And you don't. You don't. Most of your time is out of your control. You don't control it. And so how do you and I manage the unmanageable? How do you and I handle time? Because it's here and it's gone. Well, Solomon, in his journal, he gives us some insights that we want to look at today. So welcome. We're glad that you're joining us. Here's what he says in chapter 3. He says, who can say how one's day can best be spent? He says that really in chapter 6, but it's referring back to chapter 3. And basically what he is saying is, who's wise enough? Who's smart enough? Who's experienced enough to be able to tell us how to spend our time, our days? And again, you know, maybe you've listened to a podcast, maybe you've read a book, and they give us a false sense of security. Because what happens is, all through their writings, again, suddenly they tell us that we're in control. And we're learning, we're experiencing that we're not in control. We don't have complete control of our time. And so what do? How do we manage it? In the midst of the chaos and the craziness of our current world, how do we manage the unmanageable? Well, here's what Solomon begins to write in chapter 3. He says, there is a time for everything. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Wow. That's incredible. That's mind-blowing. And what is he saying to us about time, about seasons of life, about activities that you and I have and we experience? I think it's this right here. I think it's that we have to accept the good and the bad times of life. That we have to come to the realization that life runs on two tracks, good and bad. Because we live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. This is not heaven. And so Solomon begins to list 28 times of life that we experience. They're a cross section. He's given us a picture of life that's made up of contrast. 14 positive, 14 negative. He says there's a time to be born and a time to die. And so he starts out with letting us know that we're not in control because you didn't decide when you were born. And you're not going to decide when you die. You don't decide your birth date. You don't decide your funeral. And then he goes on to say, you don't have any control over it. Then he goes on to say, he says that there's a time to plant and a time to uproot. There's a time to leave. And that God does that in our lives. And so he's giving us a picture of life and the contrast in life. And he lists 14 positive, 14 negative. Now, what we need to understand is this. Both lists are essential in life because there's no spring without a winter. And so he begins to list these in chapter 3. He says this right here. He says, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. There's a time to plant, there's a time to uproot. There's a time to heal and there's a time to kill. There's a time to build and there's a time to tear down. He goes on, there's a time to laugh and there's a time to weep. There's a time to dance, there's a time to mourn. There's a time to gather the stones and then there's a time to scatter the stones. He says there's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain. There's a time to search. And then he says there's a time to give up. There's a time to keep, and then there's a time to throw away, have that garage sale, okay? He goes on, he says, there's a time to mend and a time to tear, a time to speak, time to be quiet, time to love, time to hate, time to have peace, time to go to war. What's he saying here? He's saying that they both have a place in your life. They both have a place in my life because we live in a fallen world. That life is a combination of the good and the bad, the positive and the negative. And he goes on to say this because he concludes with this. He says, everything is appropriate in its own time. You can't just take half the verse. You got to take all of the verse. Everything is appropriate in its own time. He doesn't say that everything is appropriate or everything is pleasant, but he says in its own time, that God has a way of working in our hearts and in our lives. You see, if you got everything that you want, if life was just pleasant for you and for me, we'd all be spoiled brats. We'd be more self-centered than what we've ever been before in all of our life. And so he says here that everything is appropriate in its own time. What does that include? Everything. It includes our financial setbacks. It includes our illnesses. It includes our losses. It even includes your divorce and all the different things that have broken your heart as well as made your heart happy. He says that everything is beautiful in its own time. And then he says these words here, right here. He says, God makes everything beautiful in its time. That's our incredible God. So we have to accept the good and the bad. You know what? There's a song that is at the top of my playlist right now. We're just learning it here at New Point. It's Graves to Garden, and it's incredible. I want you to hear it today, and let it fill your heart and your soul.
I search the world. It couldn't fill me. And man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. No, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. And I know it's true. to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you see them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. Your mercy and grace will find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Excited, I don't know what would or could. You know, I just play that song over and over and over and over again. I just hit that replay button, and it reminds me of the greatness of God, the goodness of God, the generosity of God, that no matter what season I find myself in, whether it's positive or negative from the human perspective, God's good. There's nothing better than Him. And He can take my graves and He can make them into gardens. And he can do that for you. And that's what Solomon is talking about. So I can accept whatever life throws at me. Because I know this truth. God makes everything beautiful in its time. Not everything is beautiful. But God can make everything beautiful in its time. You see, if Jesus Christ is the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, if he's the center of your life, he can make everything, no matter what has happened to you, positive or negative, and he can bring good out of it. He turns our mourning into dancing. He gives us beauty for ashes, as we sang. He can take your shame and turn it into glory. He can take your graves, the part of your life, the part of my life, maybe the seasons that you have been in that have been dead, and he can turn it into gardens. Incredible. God makes everything beautiful in his time. And that's what Solomon is saying to you and me. He goes on and he continues to give us even more truth in light of that fact. He says, he, God, has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to end. He's saying here that there's good seasons and there's bad seasons. And God has placed eternity in our hearts, but we can't see the whole picture. We can't see the whole picture when we're going through the good time or the bad time. And so he says this. He says that we need to be able to trust God in the confusing times. Trust God when I don't understand it. Trust God when I'm going through that season in life that's hard and difficult and painful. Even though I don't understand it, I can trust God when there's no answer to why this is happening. Or why this didn't happen. Our answer is, you know what? I'm going to trust God in the confusing times of life. He says here, he has planted what? Eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to end. See, God's placed eternity in your heart and my heart. That means that we have a longing to know the future. There's something in you, there's something in me. This is one of the things that separates us from animals. Your dog is only concerned with the next biscuit that he's going to get, okay? But something in you and me longs to know about tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. And yet we can't grasp it. We can't see ahead. And so we can't see around the curve. We can't see over the hill. And so we're called to trust God because we have a limited perspective. And we can't fathom everything that God has for you and me. We just see the here and now. We just see a picture frame. But God has the long-term perspective. You know, it's kind of like going to a parade. You go to a parade and all you can see is what is in front of you. All you can see is that float. But if you would have the opportunity to get in a helicopter and get above all of that, you would be able to see the beginning of the parade. You'd be able to see the middle of the parade. You would be able to see the end of the parade. And that's God's perspective. And our perspective is just what's right in front of us. You see, what happens many times as human beings, we see the season that we're in as being permanent. Being forever. Are we ever going to get through this time? Is this ever going to end? And what God would say to you and me is, hey, don't make snap judgments. Don't make quick calls because you only see a small part of it. Trust in me during the confusing times. Believe in me. Because you see, what happens is if we don't trust in God during the confusing times, we will begin to resist God, resent God. And even reject God. And maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe today you have some resentment towards God. And it's because you haven't trusted him in the confusing times. You're trying to figure it out all yourself. And you can't. You can't. We only see a small part of it. And yet God sees the whole scope of everything. And when we affirm and we say, God, you know what? I trust that you're in control. I trust that you can take graves and makes them into gardens. I trust that you can do everything. You can turn my mourning into dancing. Then what happens is our heart is filled with peace and joy, no matter what we go through. So God would say to you and me through Solomon, as he's written in his journal, hey, you know what? Accept the good and the bad. And trust God in the times that are confusing and chaotic. Trust God when you don't understand what's going on. Believe in him and love him. And Solomon continues and he says this. He says, there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about you and I utilizing our time to do good. He says there's nothing better for men to be happy. He wants you to be happy. He wants me to be happy. He wants us to enjoy life. And he says, and to do what? Good. That means that we have to utilize our time, and we have to utilize it wisely. Don't waste it, because time is precious. And how do we utilize time? By doing good, thinking of others, not just ourselves. You see, the real good life is the life that's committed to doing good. You see, God created you and I to do good works. He created you and I to be a blessing to other people. You see, life is a test. It's a test. It's a dress rehearsal for eternity, because he's placed it in your heart and my heart. And we're going to live to be 60, 70, 80, maybe 90 years on this side of death. And then when death comes, the rest of eternity is to be lived out. And how you and I live here and what we do with our time here determines a lot of how we're going to spend eternity. So I need to utilize my time to do good right now. And let me just give a shout out to all of you parents. The time that you have with your kids is incredibly, unbelievably important, and it goes fast. I can't believe where our kids are today. I have to pinch myself. And our family life ministry team wants to help you to leverage and utilize your time, because you're going to be in a season, and once that season is gone, it's gone. You can't go back to it. And I came across some stats, and I just want to share them with you because it's sobering. If you're a young mom and dad, and maybe you have a new baby, you've got about 936 weeks until they leave your home at 18. If you have a two-year-old, you have around 832 weeks until they leave home, basically. If they're in kindergarten, maybe they're starting kindergarten this year, okay? You're down to 676 weeks that you're going to have with your son, your daughter. Or if they're entering into that crucial age of sixth grade, what happens is you have 364 weeks. Or maybe your son or daughter's going into the ninth grade. Maybe they're going into high school. And time is just clipping by. You have 208 weeks until they basically leave home. Or maybe your son or daughter is a senior this year. You got 52 weeks. See, life goes by fast. Fast. And Solomon has to say to you and me, hey, sober up, sober up. You need to utilize it to do good right now. Do good right now. Don't wait, because you don't have the promise of tomorrow. Your kids are going to be gone. And so it is with all of life. Life is a preparation for eternity. And God wants you and I to think beyond ourselves. Let me help you with what it means to think this way and to utilize our time for doing good. You know, let's just say that this is our life, okay? This little red part here. You know, what our tendency is to do is to become so focused on this. And this is like maybe the 70 or the 80 or the 90 years of our life here on earth. But the fact of the matter is, look, all of this is eternity. This is all eternity. And it just strings out there. And what happens is, if we're not careful, we just focus on this and we forget about this. You see, life is a test. And God is testing you and me. And he's given you and I time here on earth to utilize it for doing good. Now, God has created you and I to do good works, to be a blessing to other people. Solomon writes in Proverbs 3, he says, whenever you possibly can, do good to those who need it. Do good while you can. And there's no better time to do it right now, because don't put it off. Don't put it off. Do the good, because you're not guaranteed. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed this afternoon. And if you're going to do any good, you need to do it now. So utilize the present and apply the present to doing good. That's what Solomon would say. He says this again. He says, there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live. God wants you to be happy. He's given us all things for our enjoyment. But while you're happy, what he wants you to do is he wants you to do good. Do good. And then he would say to us, value all of your time as a gift from God. Value all of your time as a gift from God. Here's what he writes in his journal. He says, and people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. You see, your time and my time is a gift from God. I feel this very, very deeply. By the time I was 40, I had to deal with cancer, malignant cancer in my leg. I had 5 bypasses. Most of you know that. So time for me is very, very precious, because I never thought I'd make it to being the age of 50. I just said I wanted to walk my daughter down the aisle. That's all I was asking for. And so I have a high, high value of time, because time is life. And I wouldn't have any time if it wasn't for God, if God didn't give it to me, because I can't earn it. You can't earn time. All you can do and all I can do is to value it as a gift from God and enjoy it, and to be able to say, God, you know what? I want to live each moment to the fullest. I want to enjoy everything that you've brought into my life. I want to be happy, and I want to do good, and I want to value, and I want to appreciate all the time that you've given me. I don't deserve it, but I'm thankful for it. I can't earn it, but I want to value it, and so I want to live each moment with an attitude of gratitude. You see, here's why it's so important that you and I value time as a gift. God's given you and I just enough time to do everything he wants you to do. You say, oh, Dwight, come on, man. My life is so busy, it's so full. See, you can have a full schedule without having a full life. And what I would say is this: if you don't have enough time to do everything that is on your schedule right now, then you're doing things that God never intended for you to do. You need to go back and you need to reprioritize, and you need to say, okay, what is important in light of eternity, in light of this right here? What's the most important thing? That's what you need to do. Or what you're doing the wrong way, because God's not going to give you more than what you have time for, because he loves you. And so whatever season you find yourself in, if you're finding yourself strapped and overextended and exhausted, I would back up and just say, God, what do you want me to do? How can I show you that I value time and value the most important things in life? You see, time is the great equalizer. We all get 24/7, 365. And you would be amazed, I promise you, you would be amazed at how much of your life would change if you and I would have a greater appreciation for time and realize that today is the day I need to live, and I need to live it to the fullest. So he would say, value time as a gift from God. And then he would say this, he would say, and I know that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. God's purpose is that people should fear him and realize that he's the author of time. He's the giver of time. And you say, how do I know that? Because what happens is when you and I get sick, what do? We pray. And we're asking God. That's what I did. When I had cancer, when I had heart surgery, I was just, God, would you extend my time? Would you extend my days? I don't want to die. And so you and I are called to fear God and realize that he's the giver of all of this. And then he goes on to say this. He says, and God will call to pass to account. Basically, what he is saying is this, that each of us are going to give an account of our time. God will call the past to account. And so I need to be prepared to give an account of my time. You need to be prepared to give an account of your time to God, because time is life. And God has extended it to you and me. And Solomon continues with this thought by saying this: I've also noticed that under the sun there is evil in the courtroom. This is 3,000 years ago, folks. Yes, even the courts of law are corrupt. Some things never change. I said to myself, in due season, God will judge everyone, both good and bad, for all of their deeds. You see, if you and I are looking for justice in this world, here on earth, you know what? We won't ever completely find it, because there's always going to be corruption there. But Solomon is reminding everyone, one day we will all give an account of how we used our time. We will all give an account of what we've done with our life. And he says to you and me, you better be ready, you better be prepared, because we're going to stand before this one who knitted us together in our mother's womb. And God is going to reward me on how I used my time, how I leveraged my time, because your time is your life. Time is your most precious, important commodity. It's far more important than money. You can always get more money, but you and I can't always get more time. We have a certain amount of time, and everybody gets that, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And so if you're killing time, you're killing your life, and you don't want to do that. Now, if you're a believer, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, your sins are forgiven. God's not going to judge you on your sins. He's going to judge you. He's going to reward you on how you have used your time. And did you utilize it to do good? Did you utilize it to help other people? I close with this. In the mid-1800s, there was a man named Alfred, and he was studying chemistry. And his father had a plant, and they were making some equipment for the military because of the war that they were involved in. And after the war, his business went bankrupt. And so Alfred continued down this path, and he started to explore with explosives. And he started creating some of those. And one day in the factory, it got out of hand, and his work exploded, and it killed 5 people. One happened to be his youngest brother. And so he was determined to make explosives more safe. And through this, he discovered what you and I know today as dynamite. And he created it, and of course, people have used it for many, many years. And yet one day he woke up and he read in the paper an obituary. And it was of himself. You see, his brother had died and they confused the two. And so they wrote it as it was Alfred Nobel. And they condemned him and said that he invented the most dangerous, awful thing to mankind, dynamite, and it has killed thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. And he read that and it sobered him up. And he said, this is not how I want to be remembered. And so Alfred, through his foundation and through the money that he received through this invention, was determined to change his obituary, his life. And he says, from now on, I will serve and I will give towards those who are making peace. So today, you and I know it as the Nobel Peace Prize. He changed his legacy from one that was destroying people to one that was now bringing peace to people. He had time to do that, and you do too. And so my question for us is this: what do you want people to say about you at your funeral? What do you want written in your obituary? You know, you have time, but you don't have forever. And Solomon would say to you and me, there is a season for everything. There's a time for everything. And today is the time for you to look to God and maybe accept him as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life. Or maybe to say, God, you know what? I need to utilize my time and I need to value it as a gift from you because I realize that I'm called to do good and I'm going to give an account. God wants to lead you in that today. He wants to make your years count instead of you and I just counting our years. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you that you take graves and you turn them into gardens. You take our mourning and you turn it into dancing. You take our shame and you turn it into glory because you're the author of time. You're the one that can bring good out of that which is evil, that which is bad, that which is painful. And so we look to you. And I pray that all of us here today would heed the words of Solomon, that we would trust you in the confusing times, that we would utilize our time to do good, that we would value it as a gift, because one day we know that we're going to stand before you and give an account of our life. So we love you today. We thank you that you make all things beautiful in its time. And so no matter what season we find ourselves in, may we know that you are God and you're greater than any season that we have and that you want to lead us in to a beautiful time. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media. Download our app, subscribe to our weekly podcasts through Google Play or the App Store, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.